From the protectors of the internet, the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, it's the PKO Podcast with Carl and Dana.
Welcome today to the PKO Podcast, presented by the Wisconsin Department of Justice, Division of Criminal Investigation, Wisconsin ICAC Task Force. I am Carl.
And I'm Dana. Today we are going to kind of touch base on some monitoring subscription services that are out there for your child's cell phones. We've had a lot of questions on these. We certainly don't choose one or the other to push or to get behind or anything, but we want to provide them as options out there for parental monitoring for safety online.
Some crazy facts. So 82% of kids are exposed to inappropriate material online before age 11.
Yeah, that was a stat put on one of the subscription sites' websites, and I'm not sure how broad of a stat that is, what country they're looking at, what does inappropriate material consist of?
Right.
But it's still a staggering statistic. We don't want our kids exposed to any sort of inappropriate material.
Right. And you got to wonder, you know, how is it getting distributed? How are they finding it? What are the basis that they're going off of? Obviously, parents are allowing them on social media apps and websites that maybe they probably shouldn't be on at that age. But peer pressure is ridiculous right now. We're going through it as a family, and friends are going through it with their kids too. It's way different. And I'm not saying that I'm that old, but it's way different than it was when I was in middle school or even late elementary school. It's crazy.
Well, and I think that some of the inappropriate material is probably being put out there by young kids. You know, kids are trying to find themselves, and they're experimenting with language and their self-image and what they're putting out there and that sort of thing. And so some of what they're putting on the internet is not necessarily appropriate and then being viewed by their peers.
Right. And it's definitely, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, it's hitting at a younger age, I guess, the curiosity and the technology and the lack of value of, you know, knowing what's going to happen or caring, I guess, of what would happen in the future if you expose yourself online or send these text messages. It's not out there. So we're going to offer three options today. And we don't, like Dana said, we don't represent or, you know, offer any of these. It's completely up to you as to how you want to handle it, if you even want to even explore this. But we're giving you that option. That's what we do here at the PKO Podcast, is try to give you options to make you think about things.
So there's two kind of main schools of thought, I guess, on the monitoring of content that your kids have on their phones. And the first thing you have to decide if you want to go forward with something like this is whether or not you want to tell your child that you're monitoring their content. And the schools of thought are, do you think it's appropriate to quote unquote spy on your child? That's what people are always talking about.
Right.
Or do you want to talk to them about earning responsibility and trust and showing that they can use that device in a mature and responsible way?
Right. And there's different ways to go out there rather than to purchase these apps and or go online and try to monitor this too. I mean, you can control things through Wi-Fi. You can set privacy settings. You can set settings on the certain apps that you have, and plain old simple ground rules, and just working with your child on, you know, their activity online too. But if parents are busy, I get it. You don't have time for that, or you don't know how to do that. So, you know, our first kind of not option, but just our first item here is NetNanny. NetNanny allows you to control your kids' internet activity remotely. So you can kind of go through what websites you want blocked, what you want blocked in your kids' phones. You can also, you know, like block the dating sites and the pornography sites and that type of thing too, or even something similar to tobacco products or anything like that. So NetNanny is an option that's out there for you.
And these sites kind of go a step further than what you're able to do through, you know, parental controls on your phone and setting permissions and that sort of thing. These apps actually monitor texts and location of the phones for your child. And some of them have different capabilities regarding that. But so with NetNanny, for instance, if your child types in specific keywords such as suicide, let's say, you are going to get a notification on that because that's obviously something that you're going to want to be talking to your child about right away, making sure that they're in a safe place and that they're getting whatever help they need, whether it's for them or somebody else.
Right. And, you know, things like profanity, time, it also allows you to search where your phone's at or your device is at. You know, like we said before, it's not necessarily where your child's at, but at least you're going to find your device. And that's a starting point if something does happen. So a lot of options with NetNanny that's out there to try to help control and or notify you as a parent is what your kid is doing. Option two.
Well, I want to touch. Let's go back to NetNanny for a second.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the fact that these aren't specific to a certain type of device. So if your kid is using a laptop or a computer in the home, you can get a version for that. If your child is using an Android phone, you can get a version for that. Apple, a version for that. So this doesn't restrict to specific types of users. If it's something that you're interested in, it's a subscription service. It gets you access to a certain number of devices, I think, safety on a certain number of devices,
right?
And then provides you that kind of level of control over those devices. So I just wanted to slide that in there about the different types of devices that this can be used on.
And I think we can kind of say that for all of these options that we're providing too, is that, you know, all of these options are providing both laptop, desktop, cell phone, iPad, basically all internet monitoring on all the devices that most families are going to have. These options that we're throwing out to you, and there's probably more out there. These are just the three that we know of, that kind of assist you in monitoring to what's going on. So option two that we're going to throw at you is called Secure Teen. Secure Teen, does a little bit more than NetNanny, gives your kids call logs. So you know exactly what who your kids are calling and who's calling them, allows you to read your kids' text messages, allows you for like Windows, parental control, cell phone control, Android and iPhone again, specific time, like a year of time for a device, and other type of controls that allow internet safety, graphic content, downloading applications, that type of thing too. So Secure Teen, compared to NetNanny, gives you a couple more different options.
Yeah. So when we're talking about those basic safety rules of set tech-free zones in your house or set tech-free times in your house, this really, really helps you enforce that because you can set times when they are allowed to use the actual device. Otherwise, it just doesn't work for them.
Right. And talk about, you know, blocking applications. You can set for certain applications that your child is trying to download or visit, you know, websites. You can block that. And you can also monitor their outdoor locations, Facebook, chats. It'd be kind of the whole gamut. Secure Teen kind of gives you the whole gamut of security, I guess, over your child.
I think something cool about Secure Teen, too, is that it lets you, not only does it let you remotely lock and unlock the device, so if they're doing something, if they're off at an event or something where you know they shouldn't be using their phone, let's say, you could lock it if you wanted to, or unlock it if necessary. But it goes a little bit further with the iPhones or the iPads, and it lets you monitor some of those apps that the kids might be downloading and using. So WhatsApp, Skype, Kick, it monitors content within those on the iPhone and iPad devices. So that's kind of a cool little additional bonus, I guess, with that.
Right, because with a lot of these hidden apps that are out there now too, the your kids are, you know, conversing at school or wherever, at games or whatever they're at, about, hey, I got this app, I got that app. Well, this Secure Teen allows you to try to block those apps or monitor those apps, I should say, a little bit closer than NetNanny would too. So Secure Teen, a little bit different, a little bit more complex.
And I think that one, the subscription time is for 1 year, and I think it's a lower number of devices that it can go on, but it's still, I mean, it would be plenty for your family.
Right. So option three we have is TeenSafe. Claims to be the most advanced of all of the monitoring type apps that are out there. Tracks text messages and calls, but it also pinpoints your child's exact GPS location instantly. And we're not going to say, we say child, well, your device. So we're going to know exactly where your device is located.
Yeah. So TeenSafe actually lets the parents view sent, received, deleted text messages. You can view the phone logs, the call logs of incoming and outgoing calls. You can look at the contact name, numbers, who they've got added in their phone. So it really gives you control over the content that way. I'm not sure how this one works with those other apps, though, that you can use for messaging, or if it just monitors the texts that are sent through the phone's messaging application.
So WhatsApp and Kik and those type of apps are only allowed on iPhones with TeenSafe.
I'm not sure. That would be something to look into if you're comparing these.
Right. You should. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something to look at. It doesn't look like it's, you know, it allows web history, time, numbers, durations, who's calling them on Androids, but it gives you a little bit more options on iPhones. But yeah, it's something you're going to have to research, something you're going to have to figure out. Go to the facts section, learn about it, just like everything else. Go online, Google it, see what reviews are, kind of go to the forums, see what parents are saying about these. Just a couple that we run into, I guess, what we know of through what we do with the Wisconsin ICAC Task Force. It's something out there that maybe can help you monitor your child's activity online through your phones or computers or whatever they're doing, too. So,
I think another thing to make mention of with these things to look into their capabilities on, for example, with TeenSafe, something that jumped out at me from the FAQ section on their website is that they do not display images or videos sent via text from the teen's phone. So if the parent is looking at what text messages were sent and received, they don't know what those images are. And that might be something that you really want to be aware of, what kind of images are going out or coming into your child's phone.
Right, because, you know, Snapchat's one that we're all really up and up on. I guess we try to monitor that the best we can, but 10 seconds, it's gone, you know. So it's hard to monitor what goes on with Snapchat. Maybe some of these safety apps or you know, prescriptions, subscriptions that you have out there can help you monitor that a little bit closer than what you exactly have. So, you know, you can do on your own. So just some options that we're throwing out there at you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So these were three options that we became aware of through parents that we speak with. And I think these three were kind of compared by the Today Show recently. And that's why we took them and kind of went a step further with looking at some of their capabilities, some of their direct comparisons. But it's something that if you as a parent want to get and apply to your child's device, you definitely want to do a little shopping, figure out what's going to best meet your needs as far as what you want to monitor, what information you want to receive, and then how you want to use it. If you want to talk to your child about that, if you want to just kind of monitor from the background and not give them a heads up on that, these are all important considerations to kind of take into effect with these conversations with your kids.
Yeah, because a lot of times when you're talking to your child about it, you are going to kind of make them angry, you know, because they don't want to be monitored. They think mom and dad's watching over their back, or whoever, you know, guardian, whoever you are in your child's life, constantly watching over their back. They don't have that freedom. They think there's a lack of trust. So, you know, you don't want to be sneaky about it because you don't want them to catch you with it. But then again, you want them to make them aware that you're actually out there monitoring what they're doing, that you care about them, that you don't want them to get in harm's way. And in some cases, I don't think they understand it because maybe, you know, Johnny down the road doesn't understand it. And there, that peer pressure comes into play again. And I tell you, I can't say this enough, and I hope, you know, maybe it's just our family or our area that we live in, but peer pressure nowadays is ridiculous, especially with electronics and some of these devices and games and apps, and holy smokes, it's crazy how these younger kids, 10, 11 years old, are getting pressured into doing things. And parents really got to be up on this because you never know what's going to happen. Straight A students and really good, you know, church going, loving families are falling victim to this stuff. And you don't look at it, it's not going to happen to my kid. We do this, we do that. No, it does. You know, we have parents that call all the time and say, oh, I can't believe this is happening to us, because it's the peer pressure. Just they fall into that hook, line, and sinker of different types of apps that are out there and get themselves into trouble. So three ways that we three options, I should say, that we are giving you out there to try to monitor this.
Certainly. And there are a lot of other options. There are options that you don't need to pay for. It's just kind of what level you want, what you want provided to you from that app, and the amount of research that you want to do on it. So we recommend that. You can always take a look at different options for safety information and safety discussions with your kids on our website at protectkidsonlinewi.gov. Listen to the podcast episodes. We've got a lot of different ones out there based on what your interest or need is as far as safety information. And give us suggestions. If you go to our website, you can actually submit suggestions to us on things that you want us to cover in the podcast. And we are happy to do that. So protectkidsonlinewi.gov. And you can also connect with us on Facebook now. We are actually listed under Protect Kids Online. So it's an easier way to find us on Facebook, and you'll see a lot more updates on different news stories, different apps that are being announced out there, and kind of how that can impact the safety side of things.
And Dana doesn't sleep at night because she is constantly monitoring that Protect Kids Online Facebook page.
This is important stuff.
Yeah, exactly. She wants to know what your comments are. She wants to see if they can help, if there's any situations. So feel free to go on there. Even if you're in Florida, Georgia, Texas, California, New York, or in Wisconsin, feel free to get on our website, Protect Kids, or our Facebook page, Protect Kids Online, or our website, protectkidsonlinewi.gov. Submit your questions, suggestions, whatever you need for us, and we'll be there for you. Thanks for tuning in today.
And stay safe.